Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm TJ Berry, and I'm state representative for the 38th District, which encompasses Liberty, Kearney, and Excelsior Springs as the cities that I represent.
Glad you're here. Let's get started.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go. And welcome to the production studio here at KCUR 89.3. I'm Brian Ellison, and it is good to have you here, Representative T.J. Berry, Republican from the 38th District. Good to have some Missouri roasted coffee and some Missouri-made donuts and a big full week of Missouri politics to talk about, too. A couple of other Missouri products here in the studio. Harvey Oxman is a retired teacher in the Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. Harvey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, and I appreciate the invitation to be here.
Oh, we're glad you're here. And my colleague and friend, Matthew Long Middleton, producer of KCUR's Central Standard. Welcome, Matthew.
Good morning, Brian.
Glad you're here. So first thing we always do, TJ, is talk about your family. Tell us about your kids and your pets.
Absolutely. I've been married for 29 years to Shelley, and I have a son that's 24, Alex, and a daughter that's 23, Sammy. And we live all north of the river. And
all the kids are still in town?
All the kids are still in town.
That's great.
Daughter's actually studying to be a chiropractor at Cleveland Chiropractic, and have one dog, or a grand dog, I should say, that's named Mika.
Okay, very good. And are any of the kids following you into politics?
I sure hope not.
Yeah, no parent wishes that for their child. But how did you get hooked on politics? How'd you get into this?
Well, that's a circular story in that in 2002, I had a friend approach me and say, TJ, will you please be my treasurer for my state house campaign? And I said, sure. And he asked me because I understand how to manage money and deal with money. And in 2008, I was starting my fifth business. And in July, I had put money down and was working on it, had site selection, and then the financial crisis happened in September. Walked away from that because the best way to be successful in business is measure your risks before you go into business. And my friend Doug Irvin came to me and said, you need to run for state representative. And I said, why would I want to do that? And he said, because we need people that understand money to be in Jeff City. So that started the process for me. I never thought I would be an elected representative, never thought I would run for office.
Been there for 5 years, right?
I have.
Almost. This is your last term?
No, I have one more.
One more. Okay. All right. So lots to talk about today, especially your work on the Utilities Committee and with energy and your sense of what's coming up in the veto override session this week. But first, let's do what we always do, which is go around the table and invite our guests to be part of this. Matthew Long Middleton, what's on your mind this morning?
TJ, I'm really curious about your upbringing, your parents. Tell me a little bit about them and what it was like to grow up.
Absolutely. I grew up in Clay County. I grew up on 120th Street. I now live on 128th, so I did not go far.
Yeah, you didn't find the door.
That's it. That's exactly right. But went to Liberty School Districts, and my dad was what I would call a fixer. He worked for several businesses when they were in trouble, and he helped fix them and get them back on the right track. And my mother was an accountant.
Do you mean like physically, like a lot of manual labor, but you mean, or more like in a structurally, like
structurally
we need to fix the functioning of this business?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Fix the function of the business because we live in a world of change, and many times people have done it the same way over and over and expect it to keep on working. But in business, that doesn't necessarily happen.
Interesting. So Harvey Oxman, you're a retired teacher. You live now in Lee's Summit. What's on your mind this morning?
I would like to ask TJ, what to him are the most important responsibilities and functions that he serves as a state representative?
Great question. What are the most important parts of the job?
You know, the most important things are somewhat similar to my marriage, and that is listening. You have to listen, because if you don't listen to your wife, guess what happens? You get in trouble. If you don't listen to people that are in need or people that are having difficulty getting through the tough time that they're having or getting through the bureaucracy of government, they can get disenfranchised, they can become disillusioned, or they can get just downright mad.
Have you experienced that? Like, do you have an example of it? You know, like when like, because, you know, I feel like I hear that a lot from people in legislature, but yet we still have this like bizarre relationship where there's a generalized anxiety of, you know, government isn't working for me. And I think that happens everywhere, but I'm curious if there's an example where you're like, oh man, I wasn't listening, you know, I wasn't paying attention.
It's not necessarily the not listening, because generally speaking, I'm very careful. God gave us two ears and one mouth. But I recently, we're getting ready for veto session next week, and one of the large issues coming up is House Bill 116, and there are people for it and people against it.
The right to work legislation.
The right to work legislation. And I've had a mailer from the people that want right to work that said I voted against it. I have had a mailer from the people that said I voted the opposite way.
Well, how did you vote on it when it came up the first time?
I voted only person in the General Assembly that voted present undecided. And because this is a very difficult issue, and it's not as simple as this is right or this is wrong. It's what is going to put us forward and be best for the state.
You know, this is an important issue. I'm glad you brought this up. This Wednesday is the veto override session. That right to work legislation passed in the House, but many Republicans voted against it. You yourself voted present, undecided. 18 Republicans would have to switch their vote to a yes to override Governor Nixon's veto. Have you changed your mind? Have you made up your mind how you'll vote on Wednesday?
I haven't. I'm sure that we will get there and we'll have a couple more meetings this week, but it will be difficult. Both sides have been working diligently and passionately. But at the end of the day, you have to make this analytically and look at how is this going to affect people.
We had one of your colleagues, Representative Lauren Arthur, Democrat from Kansas City North, here last week, and she didn't think it would have the votes. Do you think it will pass?
It's much closer this week than it was last.
I'm just so fascinated about I feel like personally I can be a really principled guy. And, you know, but this is why I'm not in politics, because I don't understand politics. You know, how you could, you know, vote one way several months ago, come in today and be like, I have changed my mind on something like that is so important to so many people, such as labor.
It's not like the issue's changed. But yeah. So why do people change their minds, TJ?
People change their mind because in session, it's an unbelievable environment. My first year down there, I was putting 50 to 55 hours a week, Monday through Thursday, coming home and running my business 25 hours a week, and was just absolutely inundated. When you're in Jeff City, your work week, okay, people come in and talk to you. People, constituents, other legislators, special interests, lobbyists, everybody's asking for a piece of your time. So the ability to think and really do in-depth analysis of something may not be exactly the right time in session. So people take and make their gut check during session and vote yes or no on an issue. But when you get out of session, you do have time to truly do a deep dive.
Did that first experience, did it scare you at all? Like, is it what you imagined government would look like when you're, like, in the bowels of the beast, you know?
You know, it was like being thrown into the deep end of a pool and learning how to swim. Mm. And I've started businesses. I've started multiple businesses. It was very much like starting a business, and it was all-consuming.
I'm curious, Harvey, you're listening to this as a citizen. TJ has sort of outlined that sometimes you change your vote because you just took more time to think about it. You had a chance to reflect. You got away from Jefferson City for a while. Does that ring true for you, or does that sound like do you think there's other issues on why politicians change their votes?
I congratulate the representative and appreciate the fact that he gives a lot of thought to the legislation, and hopefully it is his thoughts rather than somebody else's. I am curious as to what business are you in or businesses are you in, and please don't tell me it's payday loans.
Well, it's not, so you don't have to worry about that. My first business I started when I was in college. I took sawdust and wood shavings from trim cabinet shops and frame shops and repackaged those. They were being thrown out. Repackaged them and sold them to horse barns to use as bedding for horses. That's how I put myself through college.
That is the best first job I've ever heard described. We took wood shavings, turned them into beds for horses. That's awesome.
And environmentally stable, you know, like you were doing it before it was cool.
Well, believe it or not, most business owners, the majority, and I think most people, want to have a little bit of extra money in their pocket. Mm-hmm. So rather than working for someone else, I thought, you know what, let's figure something out. And after that, graduated from college with a graphic arts industrial degree and went to work for a very large printing company. My wife and I both worked there, and she was 8 months pregnant, recession of 1991. We both lost our jobs, and I looked at her and I said, that's the last time that we're going to be reliant on someone else for our money. And I went out and I started a printing company that specialized in printing only business cards, did that for 22 years, and a couple other businesses in between.
You know, I want to ask about that first job. You were sort of taking something and reusing it for another purpose. Mm-hmm. You actually have something of a reputation in the legislature, and somewhat unusually as a Republican, for being very green. You have been a big supporter of alternative energy, solar wind power energy in particular. You supported the Grain Belt Express, the so-called clean line that would bring energy generated by wind power in Kansas across the state of Missouri. That would have required approval from the Public Service Commission, which, of course, did not give that approval. Just a few weeks ago, they voted a second time to not give that approval. Why are more of your Republican colleagues not supportive of those issues that you have advocated for in the General Assembly?
A lot of times, and it's not just Republicans, it's Democrats, it's everyone. People are afraid of change. They like the status quo, and I've always been trying to look and see how do you make something out of nothing. My first business was that. And when I look at solar and I look at wind and those renewables, you are looking at a new technology that could change the way that we all receive the power, and that's very freeing.
Is it is that something that you think will change over time? Does the Public Service Commission's vote leave you discouraged, or do you think it's just a matter of time?
No, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time because all technology becomes cheaper with use and adoption. We've seen that in computers. We've seen that in everything. The price of solar has dropped tremendously and continues to drop. The efficiency of wind generation since 1982 has become 20 times more efficient. So as it becomes cheaper, it becomes competitive. As it becomes competitive, you have adoption. And all of those things, people will look like me and other entrepreneurs will look for ways to make money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so many things I want to ask, but
I'm going to have to ask you to limit your thoughts, Matthew, to just the most important ones.
I know I should know this by now, but I really want to build off something Harvey was mentioning earlier. You were mentioning like, oh, I'm glad you know you listened to your gut and not someone else's. But you know, I realize like, I think that's a sentiment that a lot of people have. But like the weird thing about like being an elected representative, do you feel that is more important to listen to your conscience or to what your constituents are telling you? Where is that line for you? And have you ever had to like cross one way or the other on it?
That's a difficult question. On a couple of hot button issues, Second Amendment, mm-hmm. gun rights, I'm a strong supporter, and that'd be one that I would have a really tough time flipping. And one great thing about Missouri that people don't understand is our campaign finance laws, which you've probably discussed here, we have a reporting system that's better than any state in the country. Every penny that is spent on a legislator or that a legislator takes in donations is recorded.
But they can take as much as they want.
Absolutely.
Do you support that?
I have no problems with that. The reason is my constituents will hold me accountable if they think that I am bought and paid for by anyone. Making sure that that money is transparent and that they can see it is critical. And that's what I appreciate. And most people, they only hear about unlimited campaign finance. They don't get to hear that in the state of Missouri, we have to disclose every single penny down to a cup of coffee. And that's unlike other states.
Are you going to put our coffee down today? Or are we buying you out?
He hasn't had any yet. I am here to report to our listeners. He has not yet had a cup of coffee.
And I don't know that you're a lobbyist, so that would not be accurate.
That's right. I have a lot of needs.
TJ, would you support some measure of campaign finance reform?
I would really have to see what it looks like before I can answer that question, because I believe transparency makes it so that if you put a lot of reform in there, I have a different belief in that money will find a way to get to where special interests want it to go, whether that is on the business side, whether that is on labor side, whether that is whatever special interest. And so I'd rather it was all disclosed.
The representative mentioned that he likes to make money. I like to make money too. Unfortunately, as a teacher, I never did make much money. Hmm. You do like to make money. We all like to make money. And so do the individuals who participate in unions. We have history to tell us something about unions and the positive things that they've done. And yes, there have been some negative aspects, but for the most part, the American worker and the American economy did fairly well with unions as such.
What I'm picking up on is that you feel historically organized labor, teaching unions have been a big part of, you know, making people economically more mobile.
You know what? In the beginning, when we all choose what we want to do, we spend our own labor. We choose the passion that we want to pursue. And I really appreciate teachers. I appreciate the passion that they've put in and the service that they do to the next generation. But we do have the individual right to manage our own labor. And some of that labor is compensated better than other labor. As far as right to work is concerned, let me make a business analogy. Okay, some businesses deliver things at a low profit margin but a high volume. Okay, and other places have a high profit margin and a low volume. Okay, right to work is very similar. In states that are right to work states, the workers earn less money than union states. But those states grow much faster than Union states. So to me, which one's right? There are companies that are, again, high volume, low margin. And there's companies that are high profit margin, low volume. Can't there be states that are both ways? Can't both be successful? Because really it's about growth and how do you create growth?
It sounds like you're supporting the right to work legislation. Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't I? Because A, I don't know which is right. B, when you bring in the political dynamic, I was at a McDonald's this week. And I went there intentionally in Excelsior Springs because there's a large group of people that meet there every day, probably 35, 40. So I sat down with them and I put it out there. I said, what do you think? I wanted to hear from individuals, not mailers, not phone calls that were ginned up by robocalls. I wanted to talk to people. Mm-hmm. And do you want to and believe this? And I'll put my hand on the Bible. It was divided at McDonald's in Excelsior Springs, 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you take this job, you're supposed to represent the district. And when you are looking at individual issues, you're supposed to gather as much information as possible and make the best decision possible. So what happens if you don't know?
Well, you know, you have got a record of being willing to wade into those issues where you're even against your own party. So earlier this session, for example, you introduced a bill that would repeal the state's death penalty.
I did. And that was a new position for me. Before I became a legislator, I guarantee you that I was pro-death penalty.
What changed?
What changed is having to reflect on your beliefs. And you asked a question about convictions. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was always right to life. Well, that's not actually true. When I was a younger man, I was right to life for myself and my family, but who was I to enforce a decision on someone else? Mm-hmm. But then my wife had a miscarriage, and we lost a baby. And that made me think, this is a baby. And made me right to life considerably. But I was still pro-death penalty. I got to the legislature and started looking at all the things. And again, I'm financial. It costs more money to go through a death penalty case than it costs to incarcerate the individual for the rest of their life. Okay, financially speaking, okay, that's something. And I kept on looking at the life issue, and I'm pro-life at the beginning of life. I'm pro-life at the end of life. Mistakes have happened and do happen on death penalty, and it's not financially the responsible thing to do. How can you not make your belief consistent from the beginning to the end?
How does taking positions like that affect your standing in your own party caucus or in your relationships with your colleagues who feel very strongly about that issue in a way that's different than that?
Great question. What I always bring to things is the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And I put in the work. I do hard work. I dig into details. That's really what separates me from many of my colleagues is I dig into the details. I get past the surface rhetoric of what people are saying, and I do the work. And so that develops its own respect within the caucus.
I'm going to go around the table one more time, but before I do, I want to ask you just if there's any other issues coming up this week in the veto override session that really stand out in your mind as matters to watch, things you think are important, vetoes you think need to be overridden.
One, and this isn't going to be popular in this crowd, I don't think, but I think that House Bill 722 on minimum wage needs to be overridden. I think that that is a state issue, and I also believe that our state's unique the way we have it set up.
This is the state law, the state bill that was passed by the legislature that would not allow local municipalities to raise the minimum wage for their cities. the governor vetoed that, you would like to see that law go into effect.
Yes, I would like to see it go into effect.
Well, we're going to go one more time around the table. So, Harvey Oxman.
I do have one last comment, and I guess I'll do it on something that I passionately believe in, and which is in direct opposition to the representative, and that is my view on gun control. Would you favor open carry or concealed carry or stand your ground, or would you rather favor the use of guns that only shoot marshmallows, exchanging bitterness and anger for sweetness?
So, TJ, the fair question that a lot of citizens would ask. Second Amendment obviously exists. It obviously protects the right of people to carry arms. It also means that a lot of weapons have caused a lot of pain, a lot of deaths. How do you reconcile that as a state representative?
And I agree with that statement. They do cause pain. They do cause death. The people that use them actually are the people that cause that pain and death. But I really go back and study my history. I studied the founding of our country, and I don't think that the Second Amendment was dropped in there for hunting rights. I don't think the Second Amendment was dropped in there any reason except for the protection of the citizens from their government. That's why I continue to support it and will support it.
Fair enough. Final word from Matthew Long Middleton.
I want to take us off politics entirely for a moment, but you seem to work incredibly hard, both in the legislature and with your businesses. And I'm just curious, what does work-life balance mean to you, particularly when your work is in the service of your community? I feel like that would be really a challenge.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I'm going to have you confess something you told us when you came into the studio here. You got up at 4 a.m. this morning. You've been working already for hours before you came to this interview. That's a great question.
What is work? Well, work to me is a four-letter word. Okay. And you should always pour yourself into things that you enjoy, and then it's not work. And that's what I've tried to do. Being a state representative hasn't always, it's been work sometimes. But when you're able to help people, when you're able to learn, and that's what I truly love about being a state representative, your ability to pick up a subject, learn about that subject, and then if you have questions, pick up the phone, and you can get anyone across the country to talk to you. For my businesses, I say it in a different way. I look at I like to pick up rocks, turn them over, wash off the mud, and see if they're pretty. Well, that's sort of like when I'm starting a business. Pick up the idea, look at the idea. Most ideas stink, throw them back down, but occasionally you find an idea and you go, that's an idea that you can polish and make something pretty. And the legislature and your ability to ask questions and seek knowledge is amazing. But if you like to get things done, it can be really, really frustrating.
TJ, thanks so much for being here. I want to thank our other guests, Harvey Oxman of Lee's Summit. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And also Matthew Long Middleton of KCUR's Central Standard. Thanks for being here, Matthew.
Anytime.
So finally, TJ, in an effort to get to know you just a little bit better, there's one other question we always ask. We end our show with your favorite song. What is your favorite song?
Gosh, that's very hard because I'm not a musician at all, but... I don't have one.
Whoa,
I don't
have one that stays out. No way.
I'm going to give you one more chance, TJ, because, you know, the alternative,
at your wedding?
The alternative, if you don't have one, is that I have to ask the other people at the table for their favorite songs. So this is your chance.
At least they would have an honest opinion.
You don't have a favorite song at all.
I really don't. I'm not a musician. Now, if you ask me what my favorite book was, I am a reader, and I could give you that.
But it would be strange to close the show with a reading from your favorite book. So, okay, well, you've had your chance, Representative Barry. We're going to go around the table, and then in the tradition of the program, I will choose which one of the ones I like best from your choices. Matthew Long Middleton, what's your favorite song?
Oh, right now?
Yeah, right now.
Yesterday evening, I was listening to Modest Mouse and the song Trailer Trash. The only reason I don't have a favorite, but it's the one that's been on my mind all morning.
Okay, I don't know the song. I'm going to have to go just on the title and the band. Harvey Oxman, do you have a song you'd like to offer up?
When you brought it up, the first thing that came to my mind, and I have no idea why, is Everything is Beautiful.
Everything is Beautiful.
That sounds good.
I'm choosing that. The choice of being Everything is Beautiful and Trailer Trash, I'm going to go with Everything is Beautiful. Harvey, thank you so much. Thanks to all of you. Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. You can find us on iTunes or on kcur.org/statehouseblend. If you use Twitter, that's a great way to keep up with our show, and as well as the news from Jeff City and Topeka, too. You can follow me. I'm at PTS Brian. You can also follow my co-host, Sam Zeff. He's at Sam Zeff. We try to use the hashtag StateHouseBlend. You can find a shorter version of us on the air on Tuesday mornings as part of Up to Date at 11 a.m. That's on KCUR 89.3. And finally, we do want you to come and sit where Harvey's sitting now in our citizen chair. Help us get to know elected leaders in Kansas and Missouri. If you want to do that, shoot me an email. I'm Brian at KCUR.org. I'm Brian Ellison. See you next time. Under God's heaven, world's gonna find. So blind.